Well, good evening. Let's all stand together. Please turn to page 329 in your hymn book. He's a wonderful Savior to me, and He is wonderful. Amen. Let's sing about it tonight. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last verse, page 329. I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Savior. Amen. Sure glad to see you tonight, and good to have those tuning in via live stream. And but it is good to be in the Lord's house tonight. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Ask God to meet with us. Brother Jack Parker, would you open us in prayer tonight, brother? Amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, again, just wanted to mention a few things. I did actually read the order on the from the Johnson County thing, the public health order, whatever it was. And they actually are not even dealing with churches and stuff like that. And so I was glad to see they're finally figuring out separation of church and state. Amen. That law was not made to keep the church out of the state, but the state out of the church. Amen. And so thankful for that. But again, we are going to continue having church. We'll certainly watch out for folks and be mindful of those things. And of course, that being said, we'll have our regular services this coming Wednesday. And then Friday, November the 20th, there'll be the churchwide hayride and cookout at 6:30 p.m. And so we are going to be meeting here at the church and then taking a bus over or two if we need it over to Pastor Emeritus Watson's home, where we have had that event each year. We do try to do that to eliminate all the vehicles and different things and stuff like that. And so if you'd like to ride over there, you can. If you need to follow, you can. Anything like that. But that we'll be meeting here at the church at 6:30 and then heading over to do that. And so just wanted to mention that. And then, of course, this next Sunday be our Thanksgiving banquet. That's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And so wanted to mention some things just very quickly tonight. We will be having a combined adult Sunday school class. And Brother Caleb McDaniel is going to be teaching that. One of our students at Heartland, who's going to be home for Thanksgiving break. And actually, this is kind of something to do with his schooling. And so let's be in our place, be an encouragement to him. Amen. And then Brother Jim Wolfram, Evangelist Jim Wolfram, and his family is going to be with us. And he'll be preaching the morning service and then also the afternoon service. They were here a couple of years ago and just were a real blessing and do some special music and things like that. And so that's what's kind of lined up. We are going to have a lunch right after the morning service. The morning service times will be regular. And then we're going to head over after the morning service and go over to, into the E.J. Watson Gymnasium and have lunch. And then we'll come back and have an afternoon service. So there'll be no evening service. And then I did want to mention this. There'll be turkey and ham. That'll be provided. But if you would like to bring side dishes and desserts, we'd sure appreciate that, mainly desserts. Just kidding. All right. But we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Amen. And we may not have as many as we have had in the past, but you know what? That's okay. Amen. And so be here and we'll just give thanks and praise unto the Lord and looking forward to a good day in His house. That week of Thanksgiving, wanted to also mention this, that Tuesday night, November the 24th, that will be our midweek service. We will not be having a midweek service on Wednesday night. So Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, there'll be no buses. And then also the teens will be in the main service. There'll be a combined kids class downstairs. But again, that's 7 o'clock. Last few years we've done that. We've just really kind of used it as a testimony time and preaching a little bit and things like that. But I tell you, if you got a testimony, what God's done for you this year, and He always does things, amen. And be good that night to just share and just let the redeemed of the Lord say so, amen, and to rejoice in Him. November the 26th and 27th, which is that Thursday and Friday, the all church offices will be closed for the Thanksgiving holiday. And then, of course, we will enter into December. And we've got a whole host of things there. December the 8th, which is on a Tuesday, ladies, that'll be the ladies' Christmas party and meeting. And then we've got a whole host of other things coming up throughout the month of December. And so, Lord willing, we'll keep plowing ahead until the Lord says stop. Amen. Okay.
Let's continue our singing from page 331. He brought me out. Let's all stand together again, page 331. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last verses together.
My heart was distressed, near Jehovah's red frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep fiery clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by His side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by His grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise.
Tonight. Praise the Lord for the good day we've had in this house. Brother Cody Watson, would you pray for the offering tonight, please?
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for gathering together.
may be seated tonight. Will be our last song tonight. Page 328. Yes, we're going to stand again. Let's all stand up. Sing better standing up. So we'll go ahead and do that. Page 328. We'll sing all four verses at Calvary. Sing it out with me on the first verse. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Great singing tonight. You may be seated.
Freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. emancipate her. Now and forever he shall be mine. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever.
Baptist shout right there. Amen. Amen. Old man quartet sounds pretty good tonight. Amen. Good stuff. Amen. I do apologize tonight. I kind of feel like I'm whether in the body or out, I cannot tell. We really had a great time Friday at the ordination service, and sure was a blessing to see Brother Ben Quinlan and Brother Robert Collison ordained into the gospel ministry. And just a sweet spirit and a wonderful service. And my body is definitely feeling it tonight. Amen. I do think it would be good tonight. Just want to let our church know we are planning on having a missions conference in April of next year, and got everything scheduled. Going to be hosting the Landy family going to Sri Lanka. And then Pastor Jeff Abels from Berean Baptist Church is going to be here all week with us preaching that meeting. And then we're also going to have the Cullison family that's going to Ogallala, Nebraska. And so they're going to be here with us. But I thought it would be really good if we just went ahead and took them on for support anyways. They're out of our church and they are doctrinally sound. And so I think it'd be good if starting December we just pick them up and take them on, and then they can come here in April and hopefully we'll get them into a lot more churches and things like that throughout this area. But how many would be willing to do that tonight? Members of Faith Baptist, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So we'll get them on the docket for next month. And Brother Matthew Dawson back there that takes care of our missions, he can do that. But what a blessing. We sure want to be involved in church planting. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter number 15 tonight. Let's all stand in honor of God's Word tonight. Ephesians in chapter number 15. Amen. Or Exodus. What did I say? Ephesians? I told you, whether in the body or out, I cannot tell. Amen. Amen. Well, somebody help me. Don't just sit there and laugh at me, Brother Quinlan, man. Exodus chapter number 15 tonight. Now, any other things that I say off the wall, just kind of put your own thing in there and we'll move on. Amen. Exodus chapter number 15. What I was thinking about is how it makes me nervous when guys take hymns and preach messages out of them. But when you find a hymn in the Word of God, well, then you can preach that. It's all right. Amen. And so that's really what we're going to do tonight. And Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 1 tonight. And hopefully our live stream, they're editing out all of these things. Amen. The Bible says this, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Of course, talking about Pharaoh and his army. And then he goes on to say, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. The They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the water were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. And the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Now, it seems like we might have heard about that last week in Jericho. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain and thine inheritance and place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. In the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in and his chariots, with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. And we'll stop reading right there. Well, I guess we can read verse 22. It says, So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And we'll look at that next week. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the life of Moses. I want to ask tonight that You would bless in the preaching. And God, help us to be like the life of Moses tonight and to learn to rejoice in You and to praise You. God, to give You the honor and thanksgiving and praise that You deserve. Thank You for the message tonight. Thank You for already speaking to my heart. And God, would You help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Last time we were in the life of Moses, we saw the parting of the Red Sea, and we understand that God would deliver Israel out of Egypt, and certainly through the blood of the Lamb and all of those things. However, I want to make this point tonight that God did not take them directly into the land of Canaan. Instead, He would lead them on what we saw was kind of a detour, which really in turn would end up being a dead end. Israel would then become trapped between Pharaoh and his army and, of course, the Red Sea. However, what we begin to see was that there are no dead ends with our God. God would part the waters and allow Israel through on dry ground. And then as Pharaoh and his army would pursue, He would close the sea up on them, destroying them. And of course, we also saw last week in the message that none of this would have ever happened had Moses not stopped crying and gone and done what God told him to do. Hold out the rod, Moses. And so Moses would hold out the rod and the waters would part. But now on the other side and fully delivered and victorious over Pharaoh, Moses sings a song unto the Lord. He reminds us tonight that when God does things like this in our lives, we too ought to stop and take the time to praise Him and thank Him and rejoice in the Lord. I titled the message tonight, The Song of Moses, but really tonight it's a lesson for God's people to learn to rejoice in Him, to be thankful, to praise Him, to worship Him. And I would say this tonight, even considering that Thanksgiving is around the corner, I think tonight would be a timely message for us. You understand tonight that if there's anybody that should be thankful in this old wicked world, it ought to be God's people. And by the way, it shouldn't be one month or one day out of the year. It ought to be all the time, because God's good all the time. And so it should be us tonight as God's people that we would learn those things and really follow suit of our man Moses tonight in this passage. I read a story this afternoon. It said that a visiting farmer stopped at a city restaurant to eat lunch. When he was served his food, he bowed his head and gave thanks unto the Lord. But there were some teenagers that were sitting at a table nearby and had noticed that the farmer had bowed his head and was praying. And so they shouted at the farmer, "Hey, Pops, back where you come from, does everybody pray before they eat?" Their laughter was quickly silenced when the unmoved farmer answered, "No, the hogs don't." That's some good Arkansas theology right there. Amen. I thought that was a pretty good story, but at the same time, I can't help but to think that sometimes we today as God's people are far more guilty of having the attitude of the hogs or even the teenagers in that story rather than the old farmer. I don't mean that to sound mean to you tonight, but I do want to say this. We consume a lot, and I mean a lot of God's blessings. And we are spoiled because of it. And as a result, listen, let's be honest tonight. We do like thanksgiving and praise and rejoicing in our God. When really, that I'm telling you, we ought to have it in our lives. When I was reading this and studying this passage the last couple of days, I immediately thought of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 16. Well, I'm telling you, it's amazing how they would beg the Savior for mercy and for Him to heal him, and so He would stop and do that. Yet only one would come back and glorify Him and thank Him for what He had done. And Christ asked that question there in that chapter. He says this. He says this to the one leper: "Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And what a powerful question that is, because that shows us tonight that Christ both desires and deserves our praise, doesn't He? But at the same time, the one leper shows how few really do. Even after God does something so miraculous in their life, but yet 1 out of 10, folks, that's not a good ratio, really. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, when you think about the circumstance and the situation of those lepers and there not being a cure and there being really no way out, and what Christ does in just speaking His Word, I'm telling you, really, all 10 of them should have been back there and at His feet praising Him and worshiping Him, but only one did. But the truth of the matter is, that's really, I think, an appropriate ratio for God's people in our day and time. It's a sad day when the lost are more thankful in their attitude than the saved, when they don't even know the God that we're to be thankful to. And if anyone ought to be thankful, it should be God's people. I want you to think about this tonight. If you're saved tonight, listen, you are saved. You can't lose that. I mean, you're forgiven of your sin. Listen, you have a home in heaven. You have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You have the Word of God. You've got a church that you belong to. You can serve God. You can pray. Listen, the list of God's blessings can go on and on and on tonight. What I'm saying to you is this, is that we have much to be thankful and to praise Him about and to rejoice in Him about. When you look at the life of Moses tonight, there are multitudes of ways in which God's people can show their thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. I thought of several just off the top of my head. We can obey Him. That'd be a real good start right there in showing our praise. And in thanksgiving. We can give unto the Lord, even as was mentioned this morning in the morning service as we were taking up our tithes and offerings. That's always the way in which, one of the ways in which God's people down through the ages have demonstrated their thankfulness unto the Lord by giving back what belongs to Him and going even above that to see the gospel go around the world. What a blessing to be a part of missions, amen? And to have a part in that. We can certainly worship Him in prayer, but Moses tonight would choose to do it in a song unto the Lord. This is the first song recorded in Scripture. And I thought about this tonight. Moses had great talent. I mean, here's a guy that's been a soldier, a leader, a shepherd, an author. And now he's a songwriter. It's no wonder God got frustrated with him when he kept making all those excuses up on why he couldn't serve God in the burning bush. God knew he was multi-talented. Moses just needed to own it. Amen? It's just another reminder to not squander our God-given talents on excuses. Amen? And to be used of God. But at the same time, guys, God would part the Red Sea and deliver His people and destroy their enemies all with one mighty blow. My friend, I'm telling you, Moses tonight shows us the importance of stopping right there and praising the Lord for His goodness in His mercy towards men. But you know, you can't help but to think about why people don't thank God and praise God as they ought to. I mean, listen, it can't be all positive tonight. And so, as you and I get into this tonight, I just want to give some things and maybe that the Lord just impressed upon my heart as to why really people don't praise and give glory unto God. You know, number one is this, maybe you truly aren't saved. After all, this praise comes after the deliverance from Israel, which is a picture of our salvation, isn't it? Oh, come on, they were delivered by the blood of a lamb, just like we're delivered by the blood of the Lamb, amen? Who is Jesus Christ. And certainly notice in verse number 2, it says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation." And what a great picture all of this is. And listen, we ought to rejoice if our names are written down in heaven. Somebody say amen tonight. But it's a scary thing to watch so many people in the house of God not rejoicing in the things of God and especially in the things of salvation. Listen, it's a scary thing to watch young people come into God's house and never smile and seem so miserable in just being in the house of God. Scary. Truth of the matter is, that's a real good sign. Something's not right. If you've been saved, then rejoice. Listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And by the way, adults, listen, especially young adults, can be much the same way. It's sad to come to church and to never fellowship and to never smile and to never laugh and to never be moved by the Word of God and to never come to an altar and to never worship. And yet there are those that do. And as a pastor, you understand that this raises red flags with me to think, man, is something going on? Do you know Christ? Have you been born again? Because I'm just saying to you tonight, friend, it's good to be saved and it's something that you and I can rejoice in and praise God in. You know, I thought about this tonight. Maybe it's living carnally. You know, sometimes God's people don't rejoice in what God's doing in their life because God's not doing anything in their life. There's no prayer. There's no asking for God to part the waters, if you will. And instead, they're just going through the motions and putting on a show at church, but then living this wicked life when they get out of here. And it's no wonder they seem so miserable when they're in the house of God. Please listen to this tonight. You got things out of order when you can smile and rejoice over the stuff out there, but you can't smile and rejoice over the things in here. Some things not right there, some things out of order. But then, you know, last of all, I thought maybe it's a hard attitude like the 9 lepers. And I know we can all have our excuses tonight. You know, I thought about things. We're just too busy and those kind of things. Maybe we haven't thought about it, and whatever the case may be. But the truth is, a lack of rejoicing and praise from God's people can really be traced back to an attitude of pride in the heart. And we act often like the 9. We're unthankful because we have this expectation that God owes us when God doesn't owe us anything. Again, I'm not trying to be mean to you tonight or anything like that. I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to anybody tonight. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes I have that attitude as well. Like, listen, you should have done this, and you should have, you're God, you should. No, my friend. God doesn't have to do anything He don't want to do. Truth of the matter is, it's just like our scene in our text tonight. It's out of His goodness and His grace that He saves us, that He parts the waters when we need to, that He turns our detours and our dead ends into something glorious and marvelous for His honor and glory. Somebody say amen. And I'm just telling you tonight, it's us, friend. When He gives us victory over our enemies, and listen, it's us who ought to be like Moses and be humbled and taking the time to stop and to praise Him and to rejoice in His holy name. As you and I get into this song tonight, I just want to give you a few things about it and then we'll be through tonight. Certainly, no doubt, is the praise in this song. Obviously, as you go down through here, as we read tonight, especially verses 1 through 13 that we read, and we'll cover those verses here in just a moment and some of them. But obviously, we would understand tonight, it's not a worldly song, is it? Oh, no. I mean, I know it's in the Word of God, but it's still not a worldly song, and both in words, but also I would say this, even in tune. Well, how do you know that? Well, though we are not given the composition, it would be Moses and Joshua that would give us the lesson that there is a difference between worldly music and godly music, both in word and in tune. I mean, when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai and getting the law halfway down, he picked up Joshua. But by this time, Aaron had made a golden calf for the people and they were dancing around it naked and worshiping it. And as Moses and Joshua walked down, Joshua said he heard the sound of war coming from the camp. But you understand, Joshua was raised in a godly home. He never heard music like that. But Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh and he knew exactly what was going on. Which Moses would tell Joshua that that's not the sound of war, that's the sound of Egypt, man. They got the golden calf, they're worshiping it just like the Egyptians did, and they're dancing around it and half naked and doing all this wickedness and worldly music just like the Egyptians did. And again, that just goes to show you that God's music and the world's music ought to sound like two very different things. It should appeal to the spirit of man and not the flesh of man. I'm telling you tonight, if you're dancing around naked and foolish like the world, then you got some things out of order. And I praise God that this church has got some godly music in it. But would to God our churches today would get back to that music that honors and glorifies God both in word and in composition. And I realize tonight we can go, oh, no big deal, preacher. But the truth of the matter is it is a big deal in our day and time. It really is. It's a dangerous thing, and our young people need to be mindful of it tonight and be careful. We've been studying in Ezekiel in our men's Bible study, and I'm telling you, I believe that the devil, man, having all them pipes and organs, I believe he's got a big impact on music in this old world and how influential it is in the hearts and lives of our young people. Be careful of those things and stay away from those things and get some godly music in your life. But you can also see from this song that it's meant to praise God. Unlike this contemporary stuff in our day and time where you don't even know who they're singing about, Moses makes verses of Moses' song. And I realize there's 21 that we're looking at, but you know, Miriam, she's got to have her part too. Amen. She's the backup. We'll get there. Prophetess. Don't freak out. Hang on. But just in those 19 verses, I want you to listen to this. The name Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's mentioned 14 times. Personal pronouns referring to Jehovah are given over 30 times. What I'm trying to say to you tonight, stay with me. Moses shows us that in order to truly praise God and rejoice in Him, worship Him, even be thankful in Him, self must be removed from the equation. And it's all about Him. And instead, the attributes of God are exalted in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds. I want you to think about this. Let me give you some things that Moses praised God about tonight. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown
into the sea. That must have been the chorus line because that's what the backup singer sang when Miriam took over. But notice that phrase there. He had triumphed gloriously. And really all down through here, there is praise given to God for the victory that He gave to Israel. Though Moses would raise the rod, as we saw last week, had nothing to do with Moses, did it? It had everything to do with God. He would part the waters. He would allow Israel to go through on dry ground. And it would be God that would close the waters, destroying the enemies of Israel. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, God's still the same. God is still successful in everything that He does. Listen, the devil and wicked man will never defeat God. No. I'm telling you, it may look at times like they are winning, but mark it down, friend, God will have the last say. I've read the end of the book. He wins. Truth of the matter is, if you're on His side tonight, you get the victory too. Not because of anything we've done, but everything He's done for us. And I'm just saying to you tonight, there's much for us to rejoice in that. In fact, you think about in our personal lives and in the victory that was given here over their enemies and in our personal lives, the victory that God gives us over our enemies. He gives us power to overcome our sin and to live for Him. The victorious Christian life is the greatest life to live, my friend. It is one where there is peace and joy and satisfaction in God. And in that, we ought to rejoice in Him. Because it's nothing that we do. It's everything that He does for us. In fact, notice in verse number 2, He says this, "The Lord is my strength and song." So not only is there God's success, but there's God's strength that's all down through here, much like His success and His victory. In verse number 1, notice what it says. It says, "Then saying, Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." That right there, friend, is strength. Notice verse number 4. "Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea." Verse number 6. "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Notice verse 7. "And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sentest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble." In verse 8, "And with the blast of Thy nostrils, the water were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." Notice verse 10. "Thou didst blow with Thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters." In verse number 11, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods?" The answer is this, there ain't none. There's nobody that's all-powerful. There's nobody with strength like our God. Listen, you go down in verse number 12, "Thou stretchest out Thy right hand, the earth swallowed them up." I'm just telling you, friend, that over and over and over again, Moses is praising God for His power because Moses understood, here I am leading this 2 million people that have been slaves, that have nothing, that the only thing that they do have is what the Egyptians gave them to get them out of there. And it was jewels and gold and all of these things. And here's this army that has weapons and horses and chariots that could have easily overtaken them, but yet God's on their side. And my friend, when God's on your side, you're never outnumbered. Because He is the all-powerful, almighty God. And I'm just saying to you tonight that there ought to be those things in our lives where we have prayed and God has parted the water, so to speak, where He moves and answers. And the only thing that you and I can do is say, God must have done that because nobody else could have done that. When He does those things, we ought to praise and rejoice in Him. You ever have those things happen? I mean, where you just look back and go, boy, God must have done that. I'm just saying to you. No doubt, as already mentioned tonight in verse number 2, He talks about the Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. It's another one we ought to rejoice in tonight in our God, His salvation. As already mentioned, salvation is a subject God's people really need to rejoice in more often than we do. I'm telling you tonight, we're far too in love with this world when we can't rejoice in our deliverance from our Egypt. Fact of the matter is, it's through grace, just like this right here. It's nothing that they had done. They got out through the blood of a lamb, just like we get out through the blood of the lamb. Amen. Who is Jesus Christ. Listen, if it's of works, then there is no grace. As Paul would make the case in the book of Romans. There can be no work, therefore it's all grace, friend. Listen, and where there is grace, that's God's help. That's God's blessing. That's from God and God alone. And I'm telling you, because of that, we ought to rejoice in Him and praise Him. Even in verse 13, it says, though Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed, bought with a price. Mercy. Amazing. You and I are bought with such a great price. I want you to look at something else here tonight. I want you to look at verse number 11. He says, Who is like unto Thee, O God, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And I like that phrase there, glorious in holiness. You know something else Moses praised Him about? His sanctity. You know something that is greatly missing today among God's people is to praise God in His holiness. Do we not understand, my friend, that His holiness means this, that He is set apart and above everything and everyone. He is holy and high and lifted up. And because of that, praise God, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Hey, His love is not like our love. You understand how every much of the attributes of God revolve around that one precious attribute of the holiness of our God. And that we ought to learn to rejoice in that and praise Him. You see, listen, here's the point tonight. When's the last time you just stopped? You just stopped. And you didn't have anything to ask of Him. You just wanted to praise Him and thank Him and rejoice in Him. I'm telling you, the things that He's done in our lives, and if rejoicing and praising and thanking Him is not part of who we are, we have some changes that we need to make. Moses reminds us of that tonight. I want you to notice something else too. Look at verse number 14. Because it says this. It says, The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. And then he talks about the Duke of Edom. Dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and Moab. And the list goes on and on here. But really what you and I begin to see unfold right here is the prophecy in the song. As Moses gives this song unto the Lord, he begins to reveal some things that's going to take place as a result of it. Of what God has done with Israel in delivering them out of Egypt. Certainly one of those would be this, the fear of the people. Moses recognized the plan of God in all of this and why God did what He did. Listen to this. The people of Palestine that he talks about, of Palestine, they would hear of what God did and they would fear Him. We could go to passages like Edom and Moab. What about Balak and the king of Moab being scared to death of Israel? You know why? Because they heard about the God of Israel who parted the Red Sea. And even as we saw last week, as they would enter into Cana, Rahab the harlot would testify how the hearts of men have melted in the city of Jericho because they heard that God parted the Red Sea and delivered His people through and then closed it up on the armies of Pharaoh. And what I'm saying to you, friend, is that Moses is recognizing that though we didn't understand it at first, we're seeing it now. God, You've got a plan in what You did, and I'm rejoicing in it. Isn't it amazing that God does things in our life so differently than what we would have? And as a result, others hear about it, and it has an influence on them. Maybe some get saved, like Rahab. Maybe some turn back to the Lord. Maybe some trust Him as they go through a similar trial. And they're asking God to part the waters for them like He did for you. Well, I could sure sit here tonight and tell you things that God did in my life, and I didn't understand it at the time, but I'm so thankful that I trusted in Him through it all. And how He would turn around and use that testimony in my life to encourage others as they were going through the same trials and difficulties. I'm just telling you tonight, Moses reminds us of that. In fact, he reminds us of the future role of God. Look at verse number 17. It says, "Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance." Talking about Israel. "In the place, O Lord, which Thou hast made for Thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which Thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever." So not only does He talk about the fear of the people, but He talks about the future rule of God. I'm telling you tonight, just as God has a plan for Israel's enemies, God had a plan for them. They would get into the land that God had intended for them and be the people of God. God would give them the law. God would give them victory. God would make them a great nation. Then God would send forth His sign through them. He would die, be buried, rise again the third day, and ascend to the Father. And one day He is coming again. And He will sit down on the Mount of Olives. And I'm telling you, He will take the throne in Jerusalem and rule with a reign, a rod of iron, my friend. And He will rule forever and ever. And Moses is recognizing that. God, You've got a plan for me. God, You've got a plan for these people. You've got a plan for my life. And rejoicing in that. You getting this tonight? God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for your lives. Everybody getting this? He's, listen, heaven is your home, my friend, and you're going to be with Him forever. Hey, listen, we're going to be in heaven rejoicing and praising and worshiping Him. And so if you don't like it now, you're not going to like it then. Well, you won't have a choice then, I guess. But I'm just saying to you, friend, if we're going there, we're going to be doing it there. Why not should we be doing it now? And I give you the last thing. Look at verse 20. "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels, with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord. For He hath triumphed gloriously, and the horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea." So not only is there the praise in the song and the prophecy in the song, but there's also the propagation in the song. And I, again, don't freak out over the title prophetess given to Miriam or the dances by her and the women here. First of all, prophetess means inspired. That's all it means. In other words, just as Moses began rejoicing and singing to the Lord, Miriam felt inspired to do the same. And also her leading other women to sing unto the Lord, that was not out of order with the things of God. She was not usurping her authority as a woman. This is not an advocacy tonight for women preachers, deacons, or song leaders. No, men are to lead. We understand that tonight. And by the way, the dances were not worldly dancing like that which was done around the golden calf or in Egypt or in any other place. It was much like the dancing that David did before the Lord when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem. It was a rejoicing dance, an excitement for what God has done. Listen to me tonight. If you just walked through the Red Sea on dry ground and then watched it close up on the armies of Pharaoh, you'd probably have a shouting fit too. Might even jump some pews. And then you have to go home and take Advil and lay on a heating pad. But you understand, it's just the idea of hopping and skipping around and rejoicing in the Lord. That's all she was doing. But here's the point in all of this, and this is what I thought about and I like. Praise and rejoicing and thanksgiving is contagious. I remember when I was welding, I was sitting in a break room one time during lunch. And one guy started complaining about everything under the sun, the job, the money, the boss, and blah, 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 blah. Then the next guy picked up on it and did the same thing, then another, and the next thing you know, griping and complaining had spread through the whole crew like a plague. And that's when I figured out complaining spreads like a wildfire. But you know what I have also found is that when we are thankful and we are rejoicing in our God, that too is contagious. Let me encourage you tonight to try being thankful. Expressing an attitude of rejoicing. Preacher, I don't feel like that. Well, the Bible never says to wait till you feel like it to do it. The Bible just says do it. Because what I have found is this, is that when you do do it, well, you'll find yourself feeling like it. Maybe it'd be good for us tonight to start letting the Word of God dictate our emotions rather than our emotions dictating what God said to do. But what I'm saying to you tonight is this, that if we'll try being thankful and expressing an attitude of rejoicing, you might find that others will do the same. It's kind of like smiling. Do you know this? That most people, not everyone, because there are still some crazy people out there, but most everyone, when you smile at them, they'll smile back. Have a friendly face, you may find out they'll have a friendly one back. Now, I did say most, so if you go into Walmart tomorrow and you run into a bunch of cantankerous people, don't say it's my fault. But you won't know because you got a mask on. Maybe we ought to start getting those masks with a smile on our face. I don't know. But here's what I'm saying to you tonight. What if that had happened to church? What if that happened in a church? Truth of the matter is, I know church is much like that workplace environment I was in. But I want to say to you tonight, instead of being known for complaining and griping and criticizing, why not be known for rejoicing and praising and giving glory unto God in your life? Watch it spread. You want your kids to get contagious on this? Then you start doing it, Mom and Dad. You want your Sunday school class to get contagious on this? Then you start doing it, teacher. Is everybody catching this? I'm just telling you tonight, we have so much to be praising our great God about. But we're not doing it like we ought to. And I think sometimes it's just because we've got our attention on so much of the junk in this old world, when really what we need to do is put it on our great God. I know it's a simple song tonight from the life of Moses, but yet it's such a great lesson. May we learn to rejoice and praise Him in our lives. You're saved tonight, we ought to be rejoicing in Him. If you just can't seem to get over the hump, maybe you ought to check up on that, make sure you're right with our God tonight. Let's all stand tonight.